Thank you, Heather. Good morning. Welcome. If it's anyone who doesn't know me, I'm the vicar here, the pastor. My name is Joel. You're very welcome. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 7 now. You can see the page number there, 640. Please turn that up. So from verse 1. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and to insight, you are my relative. They will keep you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She's unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, "Today I fulfilled my vows, and I have food from my fellowship offering at home. So I came out to meet you, I looked for you, and have found you. I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink deeply of love till morning. Let us enjoy ourselves with love. My husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money. He will not be home till full moon." With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose. Till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep that passage open in front of you. We're going to be looking at it together. I'll switch it on to the radio. I want to start by a general sort of introductory idea. I want to think about the question, what is education for? What is the goal of education? What kind of young men and young women do we want our children to become? What do families and what does our society want our young people to grow into? What are we educating them for? Mark, could we go on to the next image? Here we go. What's education for? And then I've got a table. Here's the first option. That in London today, those of you who've got children in school, your children are being trained to become what they want to be. What is your goal? You can do it. Doesn't matter how great it is. Become the person you want to be. And the belief is that to be a successful human being, to really flourish as a person, you've got to be the real you. You've got to find out what your heart's desire is and live it. Work out your desires, work out your goals, and be the person you want to be. That's what Western education tells you. Next slide, or next. The shame honor culture, which is a culture in many non-Western countries, would say this. The goal for a child is to fulfill their destiny. And they have to do that within a system where you've got to relate to the person who's got power. Whether that's the community leader or the family leader, there's someone who's got power. You have to get on with that person because you might need their help against a neighbor in the future who's got power as well. In this system, the father's word
or the elder's word is final. Doesn't matter if the younger person has greater knowledge, then they mustn't go against what the father or the senior person says. So the young person's got to grow up to fit in with that system, and then they're trying to succeed within it. They get what they want, but they have to work the system. I think I've understood that properly. Joel's illustration of this is, if your father says you put your shoes on and then put your socks on the outside of your shoes and then go out, you won't say, but Dad, that's the wrong way round. You'll just do it because that's what your father says. So that's the way this can operate in some of these societies. What about Proverbs? Proverbs is educating people with a different goal. I've put on the screen here, for skill in living in God's world. For skill in living in God's world. The goal of Proverbs is that young people, our sons and daughters, will grow to have a good character. Not just skills for life. We want them to learn skills, but to use those skills in the way God would have them to do it. And because this involves becoming a person who can think, the child, the son or daughter, might actually sometimes disagree with their father or the person in charge. They'll do it respectfully, but they won't put their socks on the outside of their shoes because they're learning to live well in God's world. But it's not just about their goals. They're learning to live the way God wants. So they're not just fitting in with the system, grinding their teeth. They're learning to love what God says is good. And love to choose those things. That's the character that the book of Proverbs wants our sons and daughters to become. You might want to challenge me about some of that. I'm happy to talk to you about that afterwards. It's just a general idea of how the education of the Bible is different. The Western world is just, what are my heart desires? How can I get them? Many third world settings, the goal is, how do I fit in with the system and not rock the boat, but get what I can within it? The Bible's approach is, how do I grow to become the person God intends me to be with the character he intends? That is real life. So chapters 5 and 6 and 7 of Proverbs are full of warnings. Come to the next image here. Robert, in our growth group, in our midweek group this week, someone said, oh, it's this woman again. And this was when we were looking at chapter 6. Here she is in chapter 7. Why does she keep coming up? Well, one reason is that loving parents will repeat warnings, won't they? I've talked before about the idea of training your child to cross the road safely. You won't say to your child, look, I told you this when you were 2.5. Why do you expect me to repeat it? If you love your child, you'll tell them again and again and again. Because you care for them. So that's one of the reasons. And the reason this warning keeps on coming up is that the threat's so serious. The threat of the person who offers easy sex to a young man is serious because the consequences are so harmful. And it's serious because the offer is so attractive to young men. Yeah? That's why we need to hear it again and again. It's firstly written to young men. But I hope we'll see later on through this chapter that it's got a very clear message for all of us. But as you see, the very first two words there, chapter 7, verse 1, my son. It's this, the teacher, the father, teaching the young man, wanting him to grow the character of a godly person. So I've got three sections. Yeah, we can put them all up. So the first is he urges him to welcome the teaching, to resolve to commit to God's way. The second section, recognize the danger, and that's through this story he tells with its meaning. And then finally, request help, where he again urges the young man to accept the teaching. So we look at the first of those sections, verses 1 to 5. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. That means it's the one thing you'll choose out of all the possibilities. That's the apple of your eye, the thing that comes first. Bind them on your fingers. That's something you're never going to forget or ignore. write them on the tablet of your heart, as though your heart is like a block of stone that you can carve something in that's never going to be rubbed off. That's the inner you, not just on the outside, on your fingers, but in your heart. Verse 4, say to wisdom, you're my sister, and to insight, you're my relative. Make them your inner circle. This is not a website you visit occasionally because you could do with a tip. This is an app you have running on your phone all the time that's controlling your activity. So what we're talking about here is more than turning up to church and then disappearing off again and getting on with your week, the stuff that really matters. This is more than just reading the Bible once a week in church, or maybe following a YouTube preacher and praying to God when your plans don't work out. You know, this is, the Bible is the apple of my eye, my first choice. It's on my hands, so I can't forget it. It's in my heart because it's precious to me. It's my close friend. This is commitment. So that's why I put on the first point here, resolve to commit. Decide, I want this. And the offer is there immediately, verse 2, keep my commands and you will live. This is what the teacher wants for the people listening. True life for them, real life. And they need to be protected. Verse 5, these commands, they will keep you from the adulterous woman. Keep you safe. Now the teacher tells a story. This is the main part of the chapter, the main part of what I'm going to talk about this morning. It's not a story about the son. It could be a make-believe story. It could be a story about someone he actually did see. So he tells the story here, verse 6. At the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice, through the window frame, and I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. So he's looking out of the window, the young people are there on the street, and he sees some simple ones. In Proverbs, the simple people are the people whose character has not yet set on a fixed path. The simple ones haven't yet decided. They're open to learning. They could choose the way of wisdom. They could choose the way of folly. They haven't gone there yet. A simple person is still open, exploring the options. And this simple person, he takes a walk. He's curious. He's heard about a certain place. Verse 8, he was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. And when does he go? Verse 9, it's at twilight, as the day was fading and the dark of night set in. Dark is where actions are hidden. Other people don't see them. Now there is someone else. Verse 10, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. Why is she out on the street at dusk? She's not going out to chat with her neighbors. The clothing she's wearing tells everyone that she's looking for sex or she's offering sex. Here's a young person taking no care. It's in the secret of darkness, in the right wrong place. And here is a wife looking for an affair when her husband's away. Or it could be the other way around, a husband looking for relief from the wife and kids with a relationship with someone at work, someone accepting an attracting offer on a dating app. This is a young man. Young people with lots of hormones are vulnerable. How might you walk in the direction of sexual sin? How might you be walking in that direction? She grabs him, she kisses him, and she speaks. Verse 14, today I fulfilled my vows and I have food from my fellowship offering at home. This is a form of offering where you'd give it to the priest and he would give some back to the person who offered it and they would eat it. And maybe meat, which is a luxury food. She's been looking for him eagerly. She says, verse 15, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you and I have found you. I think this is one of the funniest verses in the Bible. She searched and she's found him. Does he really believe that she was looking for him? And what a lie. How can he be so naive, so stupid to believe that? You're the one. I was waiting for you. What an idiot. And then she describes where they're going. Verse 16, I've covered my bed. Only rich people had furniture then. This is a bed covered with lovely fabrics in a room fragrant with expensive fragrances. This guy's hit the jackpot. And what does she invite him to? Verse 18, come, let us drink deeply of love till morning. Let us enjoy ourselves with love. Is this love? It's going to be sex, wrongly labeled as love. Don't worry, we won't be found out. Verse 19, my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money. Got a lot of business to do. We're safe. So this young man was walking out in her neighborhood in the dark. She comes out and he stops to chat. He listens as she flatters him. You're the one. She entices him with her lies about luxury and love. And she reassures him, my husband won't know. This is a real world story, isn't it? The man is outside on the street in the dark, hearing her voice going into her house. But it also happens in what we might call the virtual world, the internet, not on the street, but on the phone. He's heard about certain sites on the internet. I need to see these things for myself. I'm just going to have a glance, just going to pop by and see what it looks like. They've been talking about it at college, at work. Check it out. And it still works that though he's on his phone, these things happen at night or in a place where someone's not going to see. Doesn't want anyone looking over his shoulder for this, does he? And he gets to the site and they're ready for him. I came for you. This is for you. How can that be? It's because the apps on your phone are tracking everything you're clicking on all the time and creating a very detailed picture of you. And they know what you want that will then sell their adverts. The video shorts and the adverts have been selected to suit him. And they hook him in. And of course he's reassured, this is private, this is secure, no one will know. In what ways does sexual sin come to you? And how can you guard yourself against such approaches, whether you're a man or a woman? Well, what has happened in this story? We don't have to work it out. The Bible tells us what has happened. It explains, verse 21. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. Her words have turned him from the right path. And now we're going to find out what he actually gets rather than what he was offered. It will cost him his life, but he doesn't realize. Verse 22. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. The liver is an organ full of blood. God has made the liver so that it will process our blood. You split the liver, the blood's going to pour out. Life is going to leave the animal. Verse 23, he's like a bird darting into a snare, a trap, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now, this week, think about this. I was a bit uncertain as to what this Bible passage was saying, because It seemed an extreme claim. Surely the problem is that this woman's lying to this man. She's saying, look, you're the one. Come and have love with me. And that's not love. They're just going to have sex. And love is where a married couple are committed for life and share sex in that place. That is what sex is for. Not just for bumping into someone like this. But the Bible here is not saying that's the problem. I thought it should say that. I thought I should tell you that. But actually, this chapter is telling me to teach you something else. This chapter is saying the consequences of having casual sex like this is death. Does it really lead to death? Well, it does. If you looked at the news in the last couple of weeks, there have been some tragic stories of young people tricked into giving images of themselves on social media, and then they have been threatened with extortion, and they have taken their lives. It brought their death. Yes, that's only one or two, isn't it? But from the Bible perspective, what's happening here when people are having casual sex or looking at pornography on the internet is a form of living death. We're alive, but we're dead to God. We're not living as we should. Proverbs is full of this choice between life and death. You see, to pick another area, you could be rich, but if you got your wealth by cheating your boss or by stealing from the customers, your money is not of real value, and you're not a truly rich person, according to Proverbs. You can have sex, but if that sexual relation is outside of a committed relationship, it's not love, and you will be lonely. You're a person on the road of death, according to Proverbs. So there can be a form of living death. And the Bible says the wages of sin, the outcome of choosing to reject God, is eternal death. So there can be physical death, these people who've taken their lives. There's the living death of emptiness, of a wrong life. And then there is the eternal death in the next age. This is the choice that Proverbs is laying before us. And Jesus talked about in the very short passage that Sally read, the broad death road and the narrow life path. There is darkness or light, folly or wisdom, lies or truth. The way of death or the way of life? Which do you want to be on? Which do you want to choose? It's for you to choose. Don't you believe this? I didn't realize this as I was looking at this passage this week. It seems hard to believe. It's all over the films, all over the internet. Have sex with who you want, when you want. It won't matter. It won't hurt you. Surely the Bible can't be true. But you know what? If we ignore this teaching, what are we like? Verse 22, all at once he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces its liver. Stupid animals don't know that this trap is going to lead to their death. Morally stupid people can't see any connection with sexual sin and death. That's the point of the illustration here. Do you see how serious it is according to God? What should you do if you have gone too far and you find yourself in bed with someone you are not married to? Get up and run out of the house. Immediately. Better to be out on the street naked and laughed at than to have spiritual death and to face your judge in the next life as his enemy. So, do you see why he's saying to the young man, commit to this. Make it the apple of your eye. Have it on your fingers, in your heart, your best friend. Recognize the danger. And the final thing, request help, which isn't obvious from the passage, but I think when I show you, you'll see why I've said that. So verse 24. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray to her paths. This is talking about the woman who's attracting this young man. Again, the real consequence here, the warning, is against death. And there are images of death and loss. Verse 26. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway. It's a fast, easy road, not hard to travel on. But it takes you to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. It's not just one man who's gone there. There's crowds. How is that? How is it that so many people fall for it? Well, think of the power of advertising and the power of the internet. Millions of pounds are spent to convince you and me to look at things that we weren't thinking we were going to look at, or to go to sites that we never thought we'd go to. Millions of pounds. Why are people, how are they spending millions of pounds? They're spending millions of pounds for the skills of people who are very good at making us look the other way. The advertising industry are very clever at their job, which is why people pay them a lot of money, so that we will get hooked. What a fool to say, oh, I'm just going to check it out. I'm just looking. I won't fall for it like the others. I'll be different from them. The reason they are verse 26, many other victims she's brought down, her slain are a mighty throng. That means a great crowd. Why is there so many of them there? It's because this is such a powerful tool. It's very strong, sexual seduction. But God is stronger. We will lose to this, not because we are weaker than these forces that are against us. They are stronger than us. We will lose because we do not seek help from God, who is stronger than them. He is not going to be defeated. That's why I put here, request help. See that there's many, many people falling for this. See the danger of it. Cry for help from the one who's strong enough to help you. You know, it says bind it on your fingers where you'll always see it. You could try this. Where is it? Bind it on your phone. Why don't you do something like that this week? Are you willing to take that serious a measure to again help you to have something on your phone writing, watch out? That's not actually going to do it, is it? That's not going to change it. But it's just an illustration to make the point. Are you going to make some serious action here? Are you going to seek help? Seeking help from God will look like praying to Him, being part of a regular group, midweek group here, where you talk with others about the Christian life, or talking with another Christian friend, honestly, encouraging them to practice going the right way and receiving their help. It's a chapter that's firstly for young men, isn't it? But it is for all of us, because we are all tempted. This is just one young man's story, but it could be anyone's story. Do you want your name on this story? Do you want this to be your story? This is the story of someone who heard a lie and fell for the lie and didn't realize they were going to death. And that can be anyone's story. It might not be through sexual temptation. It might be all sorts of other promises. The promise that, look, make money here at other people's expense. What a bunch of suckers they are. You can get rich. Or it can be the promise, get these possessions, drive this car, and everyone will love you and be impressed with you. Any number of lies that will lead us astray. If you here are not a Christian this morning, the warning for you is that these invitations to pursue false promises will take you to your death. And the call is to seek God, who will give you true life in this life and in the next life. If you are a Christian, God has rescued you from that false pathway. He's put you onto the true pathway. And He's changing you to be like His Son. Trusting lies about the way to happiness, like we've got in this, it's not the way for you. Now you are His child. This is what I think this passage is teaching us. That woman here again, resolve to commit yourself to God's instructions because you recognize the danger. The Bible's warning is this is a thing that's fatal, spiritually fatal, can be physically fatal. And so request help, seek God's help. I'm going to lead us in a prayer now. Let's pray. Loving Father, we want to make your teaching the apple of our eye, to have it before us on our fingers and in our hearts, that it would be our closest friend. Show us how. Thank you, Father, for giving us a plain warning in the Scripture. We struggle to accept that sin can be so serious. Like dumb animals, we do not see the risk. Please give us more sense. Help us to stay away from such danger. And help us to be a help to one another in staying away. Amen.